This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today, the first postseason edition of Phillies Today for the 2024 season. The Phillies will be taking on the New York Mets in the National League Division Series coming up tomorrow at 4:08. And, you know, it's been talked about at our station and across, you know, kind of, you know, Phillies fandom all week of, you know, do you want to face the Mets? And obviously, would you rather face the Brewers? And I was in the camp of rather facing the Brewers. I was, somebody who thought that you don't want to face the team of destiny. As they're, you know, in the middle of this run, obviously, we know what happened in the Atlanta series with the dramatic Lindor home run and him kind of willing them to a playoffs in the midst of an MVP season. And he's having a terrific year. Had two hits last night. And, they have that. They win game one in kind of convincing fashion in the wild card series against Milwaukee. I believe it was 8-4, and they just kind of kept on tacking on and adding runs and coming back whenever the Brewers, you know, would respond. So, you know, that was an impressive win. And then, you know, they lose game two, and things start to kind of shift in that wild card series a little bit. And I thought that last night the Brewers sort of had the momentum. And, you know, they had a rookie on the mound in Tobias Myers going up against, you know, Jose Quintana, who's done it for the Mets, or who has done it in Major League Baseball, not for the Mets, but who has done it before. And they both go out there and they pitch great games. And it seemed like both offenses, you know, neither could get it going. But then there's the back-to-back home runs by Bowers and Frelick from Milwaukee, and they go up 2-0. I'm sitting there starting to plan this podcast thinking, all right, we're playing the Milwaukee Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers have one of the best bullpens in all of baseball, led by their closer, Devin Williams, who probably is the best changeup in baseball and is one of the filthiest relievers in the entire sport. And he just absolutely, you know, collapses on himself. He has a total meltdown out there on the mound at American Family Field. And, you know, Pete Alonso, in what was potentially his last at-bat as a New York Met, comes through with a massive three-run home run, one of the biggest home runs you'll ever see hit. And it's just, and the Mets tack on one more run. They get a RBI single from Marte, I believe. And then, you know, Jesse Winker scores and slams his helmet on the ground. He was going at it with the Milwaukee crowd all weekend, or all week. I'm sure we will see some of that at Citizens Bank Park this weekend. That should, you know, infuriate all 40-some thousand there. But we get the Mets, man. And it is going to be a series that it's going to be fun for, I would say, the neutral viewer. But for Phillies fans specifically, you know, or at least me, it just feels like it's going to be one of those series that just takes years off your life. And for so many reasons, the Phillies have just so much more pressure on them than the Mets do in this scenario. Very similar to the way it was in 2022 when the Phillies went to the World Series when they faced the Atlanta Braves. You know, the Braves had won over 100 games that season. They clearly had the better roster on paper. And the Phillies were just riding the wave of being, you know, the hottest team in baseball. And look at it. There's two teams right now in baseball that are doing that. You have the New York Mets, who just, like I said, beat Milwaukee in a series where I thought after game two, Milwaukee had all the momentum. The Mets, in the ninth inning, are down 2-0. They haven't scored a run all game. And Devin Williams, one of the best closers in the game, gives up that three-run home run. And then it's like, wow, they, you know, just keep finding ways to win ball games and keep advancing. So the Phillies get the Mets, but I will say, in regards to the Mets, and a reason I feel very good about the Phillies in this series is that their pitching has been taxed so much, and I'll get into the matchups in a little bit here. I want to talk a little more about the wild card series first, but I like the Phillies pitching advantage in this series. I think that's something that is maybe a little different than some of those Phillies-Braves series where the Braves had 100-some games. Like, the Phillies rotation is in a very good spot right now, and whether they go Sanchez or Nola game two, you have to feel really, really good about those first three starters. And think about it. Zach Wheeler is going to get two starts in the series, which, you know, if it goes the distance, he will. You have to win those two games, which I think the Phillies would feel really good about winning the Zach Wheeler starts, because he has just been phenomenal in the postseason and phenomenal this year. Could make a case that he's going to win the Cy Young, but Chris Sale, who missed his last couple starts, is likely to get it. But Zach Wheeler has the innings advantage on him, I think, by about 17 or 18 innings. So that should be a factor, no doubt, but it wasn't when Corbin Burns won it a few years ago. So we will see there. But getting back to what I was saying, you have Wheeler for two games in this series. You're ideally going to win both of those. And then if you could just win one more game, then you win a series. So that's where I'm at. I think the Phillies will win this series, but it's not going to be easy, because what's going on in baseball over the past few years with this expanded, you know, wild card and the expanded playoffs in general is that teams get hot and they figure out a way to win in October, and they just ride that wave. We're seeing it in the American League in Detroit too. The Detroit Tigers just swept out the Houston Astros, who have been like seven straight American League Championship Series, and they made it look easy. And that was an incredible series to watch. They got to Josh Hader, almost the same thing as Devin Williams, where, you know, they're struggling offensively in game two, the Tigers are. And then they start up a little rally, and Andy Ibañez comes through with the bases clearing, you know, double or triple or whatever that was. So that was a phenomenal series. Josh Hader, they gave him 5 years, $95 million. Some Phillies fans wanted him, and he ends up costing the Astros their season potentially. So that was a great series. I thought the Royals-Orioles series, really disappointing effort from the Orioles in that one. They only able to muster up one run in the two games. Clearly, they got some lineup problems that they have to address in the offseason. They got some free agents coming up too. So I know Anthony Santander is one of them. So the Phillies will not be seeing Sir Anthony Dominguez and Gregory Soto in the World Series. And the Orioles limped in the second half to like no other team in baseball. I mean, you want to talk about the Phillies potentially having some second half struggles? The Orioles made that look like nothing. They had a horrific second half of the year, and the Royals beat them in two, and they move on. And you also have the Padres in the Braves series, which I thought was, you know, almost as big of a lock for the Padres as it was for the Phillies to beat the Marlins last year. The Padres are playing phenomenal baseball right now, and you could tell that the Braves are tired. They didn't have Chris Sale, as I just mentioned, so they have to, you know, I think they started A.J. Smith-Shawver in game one, who, you know, the Phillies saw last year and smoked him in game three of the division series, and then they have Fried in game two kind of get lit up there, and their season's done like that. And so the San Diego Padres will be facing the Los Angeles Dodgers. That is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal series. So the Phillies, actually, they get the B crew for Fox this weekend. I think it's Adam Amin and Adam Wainwright, which I don't love that booth, but it is what it is. You got to get to the NLCS to get Joe Davis, and I think that's what everybody wants, because I will say the Dodgers-Padres series definitely is the, you know, premier series out of the two of these. That is just going to be phenomenal baseball as well. But I think Major League Baseball has to be really happy with them getting Phillies-Mets, because that is just going to be some incredible theater too for people who are fans of neither team. It is just going to be some great drama between both of those series. And even in the American League, you've got some good drama. I mean, you have two division series in the National League where it's interdivision. You have Padres, Dodgers in the NL West, Phillies, Mets in the NL East. In the AL, you have Guardians, Tigers, which is another interdivision divisional matchup. And then you have Royals, Yankees, where you probably have the two best players in the American League facing off against each other in Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt. So that's going to be awesome. Playoffs have been phenomenal so far, and I'm excited to watch more, but definitely nervous as well. But again, I think there's a lot of reasons to feel comfortable with where the Phillies are at right now, and it's because of the pitching staff primarily. And with this lineup, we're going to see for the first time how they do after this layoff. Rob Thompson has talked a bunch this week just about how he's managed to kind of, you know, get guys reps without, you know, taxing their bodies too much because he thinks the rest is important. Bryce Harper talked about yesterday on the WIP afternoon show how guys were, you know, banged up, and he thought that this rest was going to be a good thing and that, you know, they were playing their inner squad games. And speaking of the inner squad game, Bryce went deep in that. Him and Castellanos went back to back. I believe it was a 5-5 tie after 8 innings, and then Rob Thompson called it, but said it was really highly competitive. A couple notes from that I had were Ranger Suarez pitched a couple innings, apparently looked pretty sharp, and the velo was there. Rob Thompson said he liked what he saw. Spencer Turnbull also threw, who we haven't seen in a while, but has been working his way back, potentially, you know, be a piece out of this bullpen for the Phillies. He worked in that game. Rob Thompson said he was a little bit erratic and, you know, definitely still needs some work there, but he was happy to see him get back out on the mound and could potentially, you know, be a factor for this team if they were to, say, move on. I'm not sure he's on the NLDS roster, but, you know, he could be a factor later on, the NLCS or the World Series, if the Phillies were to get there. So it would be really nice to get Spencer Turnbull in there. You also would have another option to, you know, give you some bulk innings if you went to a bullpen game if Turnbull comes back. So that would be pretty cool. But just want to give, you know, some more Phillies Mets thoughts here. And one thing that I am definitely monitoring is the Mets game one starter and who that's going to be, because the Mets last night go all out. They obviously try to win the series. You know, there's no tomorrow if you don't win, so you have to use some of your arms. They had David Peterson close out the game in the ninth inning after Edwin Diaz pitched in the eighth inning last night. And David Peterson been probably their most reliable starter over the course of the second half of the year. He's been phenomenal pitching to an under three ERA. And I thought it was, you know, pretty interesting that they used him in that spot, because now do you bring him back? He only pitched, I think it was, you know, less than 10 pitches. So do you bring him back on Saturday on less than 2 days rest to start game one? Like, I don't think that is a path that the Mets are going to go down. So their only starter that's on full rest, I think, is Tyler McGill. So I think there's a chance that Tyler McGill probably starts this game. I know some of the Mets beat writers were, you know, tweeting out last night that that's probably going to be the case. But I think that David Peterson probably could go if they asked him to. But it seems like it would probably be, you know, for maybe a 4-5 inning max type of thing, maybe be on a pitch count there. We'll see. But the Phillies have not really they haven't seen Tyler McGill well either. They faced him on Sunday Night Baseball a couple weeks ago. He only went 4 or 5 innings, but the Phillies didn't really muster up anything against him. So that'll be interesting. They faced him for a while, and he's got good velocity, has, you know, okay breaking stuff, but I think that the Phillies could get to him, and it's somebody they should get to, especially in a game one. When you have Zach Wheeler on the mound in game one and you're facing a team's fourth or fifth starter, or fourth or fifth option at least, you have to take advantage of that and win that game. Because I will say, if this, you know, if this Phillies team goes out there on Saturday and the Mets go up one or two early, it's going to get very tense in that ballpark. It is going to be, you know, fans are going to be on edge. There's no doubt about it. People are nervous. If you can't tell, I'm a little nervous.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's I think really imperative to get Zach Wheeler a lead on Saturday and to have him, you know, pitch from a lead, just considering, you know, you want to get the fans as involved and, you know, as loud early as you can, because the Mets, they've really never faced this type of environment before, because as cute of an environment as Milwaukee was, you know, that's nothing compared to this. And I think that the Mets and the Phillies are, you know, it's a great rivalry, but at the same time, the Phillies have to flex their muscles in this. They won the division. You know, they've been the better team all year, except for maybe the last month of the season. And you have an opportunity to kind of, you know, not big brother them, but just, you know, say, hey, you know, nice little run you went on here. It's time for the best team in the National League for the majority of the season to kind of, you know, take over. And I think that's what the Phillies will do. I think that's what their mindset is. And I will say, for the fans that are going to the game on Saturday, or the fans who have tickets to the game on Saturday and Sunday, do not just sell them to a random person, please. Like, I don't need a Sixers-Knicks situation to where the ballpark is, you know, 40% New York fans, and it's like I'm seeing patches of blue and orange. I don't need it. Just sell your, if you're going to sell your tickets, if you can't go, sell them to a Phillies fan if you can. It's just one of those things where I don't want this atmosphere to be ruined, and I don't think it will, because I think this town is, you know, probably much more in on this particular Phillies team than they are that Sixers team. But that would be the last thing I'd want to see, because that Red October atmosphere is so special. And to be honest, it was part of the reason I wanted the Brewers to win the division series, was because I know that, you know, there's going to be no Milwaukee fans coming to Citizens Bank Park. So I just figured the atmosphere would be the same thing as it has been in past years. And I also kind of wanted the 2008 path to get to the World Series, where you face the Brewers in the division series, you face the Dodgers in the championship series, and then you move on to the World Series. But nevertheless, it's going to be the New York Mets. So just some more Mets thoughts that I had. You know, Jose Quintana, what a game from him last night. You know, he's going to be somebody that's certainly a factor in this series. He pitched, I think, six or seven scoreless last night. It was really impressive. The Mets rotation over the second half of the year has been, like, frankly, just really good. I just mentioned Jose Quintana. He's got a 9-5 record with a 3.06 ERA in 20 appearances since June 1st. And it's been the same for a lot of guys. David Peterson, similar numbers in that time. Like I said, closed out that game last night. Sean Manaea has been much, much better for this team and pitched pretty well in game two for them. Luis Severino has had a renaissance season, coming in on a one-year deal, looking much similar to the way he did when he was with the Yankees and he was making All-Star games. So I think that the rotation's scary. Not as scary on paper, but it's just been, you know, pitching really well. And although I think the Phillies rotation is, you know, has the advantage in this series, the Mets rotation should absolutely be taken seriously. And even Tyler McGill, the guy who they might face in game one, has been much better in his last, you know, 6 to 8 starts than he had previously. So that's where I'm at on their starters. But one thing I think with the Mets that you can kind of get to here is the bullpen. And I think that their back end of their bullpen is the reason why, you know, they were an 89-win team and not a 99-win team. They do not have a good back end. Obviously, they have Edwin Diaz, who, you know, has been one of the better closers in the game, but, you know, is kind of off or on at times. When his command isn't there and you're able to kind of take pitches and just kind of sit on, you know, fastballs and he's not locating the slider at all, that's when you can get to him. But, you know, he is traditionally a very, you know, very talented closer, but we'll see, you know, how he does in the series. And he could be very tired. Like, he pitched 40 pitches the other day in Atlanta. He pitched a couple times in Milwaukee. So a lot of these guys are going to be worn down and tired. But you had a couple, you know, guys in that bullpen blow up too. You had Phil Maton the other night, who let up, you know, the big home run to it was Jackson Churio. Jackson Churio had a phenomenal series for the Milwaukee Brewers, and I was going to be concerned about Jackson Churio if the Phillies were to have played the Brewers. He almost reminded me of, you know, Corbin Carroll from last year. But, you know, Phil Maton gives up that big home run, and then the Mets end up losing the game. You know, Jose Buto, who's been really good for the Mets since converting to a bullpen guy from a starter, you know, he got lit up last night by Bowers and by Sal Frelick there. So I think that their bullpen is, you know, gettable, but at the same time, you know, you have to be able to, you know, work counts on those starters so you can get the bullpen guys into this game. And I think that is where the Phillies are probably going to win this series, or where they have to kind of win this series, is being able to get starters out of the game, get them out, you know, after 5-6 innings max, and get to that bullpen, because I think it is gettable, and I think that the Phillies hitters can kind of, you know, take advantage of some tired arms back there in the bullpen. So, you know, the lineup is, it's interesting, because the bottom half of the order has actually managed to, you know, not carry the team, but has come through really big for the Mets in the postseason so far. Like, you've got the Martes of the world, who, you know, he had the big insurance hit last night to get in the fourth run, which I thought was huge in that game, because you go to a ninth inning and you're bringing in David Peterson, who's a starter. You don't know what's going to happen. And getting that insurance run was absolutely massive for the Mets there. And then you have, you know, guys like Jesse Winker, who they got from Washington at the trade deadline, who, you know, has been a guy that, you know, hasn't been in a lot of these postseason scenarios, and I think it's kind of, you know, relishing it, and was relishing being the villain in Milwaukee. He slams his helmet after he scores, which was, you know, pretty funny, or I don't think it was pretty weird. But, you've got the Tyrone Taylors of the world. You've got the Harrison Baders of the world. And, you know, even Jose Iglesias, who started the whole, you know, OMG thing, and that's his song or whatever. You know, they're just coming up with big hits, especially at the bottom of the lineup. And, you know, Alonso had been struggling mightily before that home run last night. And oh, who knows? That might turn him on then. That was the first two hits for Francisco Lindor in this series as well last night, which I thought was pretty, you know, hopefully that doesn't get him going the same as Alonso. So we will see. And again, I mentioned the OMG thing. They have so many just annoying, gimmicky things going on right now between that, between Grimace, between, you know, the Hawk Tua girl or whatever. It's just, oh, I can't take it. This is just, this series is going to take years off my life. I'm nervous for it, but it's going to be one of those things where if you win, it's going to be incredibly fun. If they win, the Phillies will have a ton of momentum going into the championship series. And it's going to be two, like I said, very entertaining series to watch in the National League, because I would say you have, aside from the Phillies, the two other best teams in the National League, in the Dodgers and the Padres, going up against each other again. The Padres just look really impressive right now. We'll see what's going on with Joe Musgrove's elbow, because that is definitely a factor for the Padres moving forward. If he's injured, that definitely, you know, takes the depth away from their rotation. That's, I think, what was maybe one of their strongest attributes heading into this postseason. And the Dodgers, who we'll see what they string together with, you know, this rotation they have right now, because they have injuries pretty much across the board. I know Yamamoto is going to go in game one, and they're going to go Jack Flaherty in game two. And meanwhile, Jack Flaherty, you know, he went from the Tigers, who at the time were, you know, not even a playoff thought, to the Dodgers, and now the Tigers, you know, might end up going further than the Dodgers, which, again, is pretty insane that the fact that the Tigers were sellers at the deadline, people forget that. And just, I love postseason baseball, man. Like, last night, I'm watching that Mets-Brewers game, and after Alonso homered, I actually audibly gasped. Like, I was distraught after that happened, and it was one of those moments where it's like, wow, that was a postseason moment that fan base will, you know, remember forever. But they'll also remember that they were bounced in the National League Division Series. So Phil's got to take care of business here. We'll see how it goes. Again, if you're going down there this weekend, have a good time. It is one of the best atmospheres in sports that you've ever been to in your life. I went to a bunch of the games last year. I plan on going to some this year. Hopefully, you know, it's a championship. Hopefully it's a long run to where, you know, you can go to multiple series, but take advantage of this, because these opportunities don't come around very often. We forget, we get spoiled because we've been to the postseason in three straight years, but Citizens Bank Park is truly second to none in terms of a playoff baseball atmosphere. It is going to be a fun, fun time down there at CBP. And, you know, two 4:08 starts in October, those are just the best. And you get to tailgate a little during the morning, during the early afternoon, then you get to head in, and you get to watch Zach Wheeler. You get to watch the best pitcher in baseball pitch for the Phillies. And that's the biggest reason to feel confident. You know, I think the lineup, we will see what ends up happening and, you know, how this layoff treats them. And I think that they're handling things the right way and that they know how hungry they are after what happened last year with Arizona and even the year before losing in the World Series. So you don't get these opportunities often. And I think that the Phillies leadership recognizes that. You know, I think the staff recognizes that, and I think everybody involved sort of knows that, you know, this is an opportunity to go win a World Series in a window which is currently wide open. So, or could be closing. We'll see, but with an aging core. So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited. I'm nervous at the same time, but it's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun time down at Citizens Bank Park. My official prediction for the series is that the Phillies win in four games. I got the Phillies winning in four games. I think they're going to win the first two. I got the Mets winning game three. And then in game four, we'll see who it is. Maybe it's Ranger Suarez. It's probably going to be some iteration of a bullpen game with maybe Ranger going, you know, three or four innings or just one in or one time around the order. But I think that the Phillies get this done in four games and that they move on to the National League Championship Series to face the San Diego Padres. I got the Padres beating the Dodgers in the National League Division Series as well. So I got Phillies Padres as the Phillies beat the Mets and the Padres beat the Dodgers. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Everyone, if you're going down there this weekend, if you're watching at home, enjoy. Playoff baseball is the best. I'll be right there with you. I'll be nervous, but hopefully next week, you know, we're talking about a potential National League Championship Series matchup with either the Dodgers or the Padres. So let's do it. I'm excited. We will talk to you next week. This has been another edition of Phillies Today with Justin Morgenstern. Have a good weekend, everybody. See ya.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.